Luke chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Before I start, I want to first, I want to thank the church here in San Antonio. I thought it was going to be real hard when I moved up here because, you know, leaving Mexico, I'd been there all my life, and I thought, man, it's going to be real hard coming up to the States, and I thought it was going to be hard being in this church. But, you know, y'all have been real kind to me and shown me a lot of love, and all of y'all have been doing a lot for me these past 2 years, and I appreciate it. I want to thank y'all for everything y'all have done for me. I want to thank the women that have been preparing the meals this week. Y'all been doing a real good job. I appreciate it. I'm trying to enjoy it while I can, you know, before I go back to eating beans and rice. I really enjoy it. I want to thank the Lord also because He's really shown to be in my life these past 2 years. I don't know how to explain it, but I know He's been with me. Amen. He's been taking care of me. Amen. You know, He gave me a car, and it ran for 2 years.
Amen.
I didn't think it would do it, but I know it was the Lord. And I want to thank Him. And I want to thank the pastors from this church. Amen. They've been a blessing. They've been willing to teach me and prepare me. I want to thank Brother Brian especially. He's put a lot of effort into me, and, you know, he works a lot and takes a lot of time to take care of me. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I want to talk about a little bit about choices that we make. You know, there's a lot of different choices in this life, in the world we live in, especially nowadays, today. I know my dad brought it up a morning one of these weeks that, you know, there's a lot of different choices that we can make, and how they realize, well, you know, that all these different choices they're giving really can sometimes hinder somebody from making a choice. You know, we get a lot of simple choices in life. We have a lot of just small choices, not really meaningful, just choices that, you know, don't really matter. But for some reason, we get all preoccupied whenever some little matter comes up, and we're putting all our emphasis and focus on this little choice that gets us all stressed out. And that's why we're all running around, you know, what do? Because we're putting too much focus on these little choices, and we got so many that, you know, gets us all stressed out. We got so many little choices that don't really help us. We're just getting stressed out because of them. You know, we also have too many choices sometimes. So many choices that because there's too many, we end up not choosing any of them at all. Just stick around, the young people, after a Wednesday night meeting or a Sunday night meeting. Food will be mentioned. We'll wonder where we're going to go to eat. Somebody says, Jim's, Denny's. No, let's go Taqueria Jalisco. Somebody says, no, I got sick last time. We bring up all these different places to go. And then it's like we end up spending 2 hours outside in the parking lot talking because we couldn't decide. There's too many choices sometimes. Too many simple choices. A lot of just things that don't really matter. We got those choices. But then we got more important choices, such as there was here. We got choices that, you know, really make a difference. Really are important. Really, you should consider them. They're important. You should think about them. Decisions such as, you know, what job to choose. There's a job that you can get and you can make a lot of money, but it requires you to work Wednesday nights and some Sundays. And you know, you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. What are you going to choose? Amen. And that choice is very important. Here it says that Mary chose the good part, which shall not be taken away. I think if we choose to let that job go and come to the meetings, Amen. That will probably be the better choice.
Amen.
Because he says that choice was a good part because it won't be taken away. That choice lasts forever. It's eternal. And so it's good to, whenever you come and face these choices, to present this argument. What's important? What's more important? And, you know, what is really going to last? What is really more important than the good part? What's eternal? But there's one choice that I think is very important. More important than some of these other choices. And it's a choice we all have to come to in our life. And that's the choice where we have to decide what we live for.
Right.
What are we going to live for? What's going to be our goal in life? That's a choice we all got to face. We all got to come to the decision, what am I going to choose to live for the rest of my life?
Amen.
When I die, what is my life going to mean? You got to choose it. It's got to be something you decide.
Amen.
Because if you don't decide, you're just going to live your life and it's going to be a waste. You got to choose what to live for. It's a critical decision. It's a critical choice. Very important. And you know, we are saved and now we have a choice that can really mean something. We have an opportunity to choose something by a birthright that we've been given. We've been given an opportunity to choose something that will last forever, that will be important, that will be better. And that's the choice to either live for God, win souls, go out and preach, versus what? Versus what you can live for in this world, versus different things. So this choice, this decision came to me. It hit me. I mean, I've had to choose something. About 2 years ago, I knew I wanted to be a missionary. I mean, I knew that there was nothing else worth living for but being a missionary. And just, you know, about a month ago or a few months ago, now it was the time. Choose. It was choose. Do you want to be? Do you really want to go? And so I had to choose. I really had it. This time it wasn't just, yes, I want to be a missionary. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, it would be good. Now it's choose. You see a yes, you're going. Whoa. Now I got to think it over. I got to make sure. Make sure I want to go. So I want to tell you three reasons why I chose to be a preacher and a missionary to win souls in Mexico. Just to win souls. That's what I chose. And I chose that. And I want to give you a couple reasons why I chose to win souls. First of all, I chose to win souls because I think it's important for me. It's important to my life. I've seen its eternal value.
Amen.
Whenever you're faced with this decision, what to live for, you know, not really any of us automatically start off thinking, well, I'm going to choose something that will waste my life. I just want to waste my life. No, we usually look at it, I want to do something meaningful with my life. I want to do something that really is important, that really matters, that really will do something special, that will last for eternity. I want that. So that's what I had to choose. I had to make sure what I was choosing was going to be eternal. Looking for something that was worth living for. So I thought, yes, winning souls. That's the one choice that I can choose. And without a doubt, it is going to be an eternal reward for winning souls.
Amen.
You compare it to anything else is worthless. Paul says he counted everything lost and he counted everything as dung But when it came to spiritually, because when he compares it with something spiritual, everything else just doesn't matter. Everything else is worthless. So I thought, I need to choose something that's important to me, and I've seen that this is eternal. This has an eternal value. Also, I've experienced the truth in winning souls. The truth of what it does to life, how it affects people, how it changes their lives. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know the truth. I know that when people get saved, their life changes completely. And you can see it in their life. They went from being drug addicts and now they're preaching on the street. They change. And I've seen that change. Being in Mexico, I've seen that change. I know what it brings. I know it. I've seen it in all the churches that you know, the missionaries have built. I've seen all the churches, how they grow. You would think, what? These people, they didn't learn, you know, they didn't go to school to become pastors, but yet they're great pastors. Amen. And they're great preachers. And then they're missionaries, and they're great missionaries. How did that happen? It's because there's a truth.
Amen.
That God can change the soul. When God wins a soul, it's great. It's true. I've experienced the joy that it brings from saving souls. You know how Paul says that for ye are our glory and joy and crown of rejoicing. You know what? I've experienced that. I know what that feels like. I remember Mexico in Morelia. We were going to preach on a Saturday evening, and I really didn't want to. You know, me and a couple of brothers from the church went down there, and I was like, I don't really want to. But we all preached. And afterwards, I got a good talk. And I got a talk to this man, and I explained him the Bible, and he seemed real interested. And he loved it. And I explained it to him the best I could, and he said, I'm going to go to your church tomorrow. And at that time, I didn't know, you know, if you invite 100, maybe expect one to come. I still didn't know that. So Sunday morning, I was like, you know, it was only Saturday. I mean, he didn't forget. You know, it was right there. He must know. He's going to come. And guess what? He didn't show up. He didn't show up. That kind of got me down. 3 months later, I saw him sit down at the park. And boy, that put a smile on my face. I talked to him afterwards. He said that what he saw in the Bible changed his life. He said that when he went back to move to wherever he was from, I think it was Uruapan, he found a church. And he started going there. And that the Bible and the gospel had changed his life. And I couldn't get that smile off my face. I was just walking to the bus stop and smiling. And every time I think about it, I can't stop smiling. Because it's amazing. It's true. This brings joy. What else are you going to do with your life that brings joy like this? There is nothing else. Nothing else can give you joy than seeing somebody really change and really live. I've experienced its truth. It's important to me. Not only is it important to me, but I chose it because I thought of the importance it had to God. You know, this is important to God to win souls. It's important to God because He knows the eternal value. He knows the real value of a soul. It's amazing to me sometimes to think about how God can put values and prices on things. He says, he mentions that a woman with in 1 Peter 3:4, I think, he says that a woman with a meek and quiet spirit, he says, which is in the sight of God of great price.
Amen.
I'm thinking, wow, God actually, you know, looks at us and can say, that's of great price. I value that. I think it's amazing to think how God, you know, God has everything. Can he really value something? He can put a price on something? He can say that something is really important and valuable? Well, a soul is one of those things. He knows how valuable a soul is. Jesus teaches this. He teaches us that souls are what's important. Souls are what's valuable. He said, you know, what if somebody would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit him? Nothing. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. The Spirit gives life. Jesus taught that souls are what have value. God knows the value of a soul. And if it's important to God because He knows the value of the soul, I want to choose what God chooses. If it's important to God, then I want it to be important to me. If God knows the value, and if He says the value is high, higher than anything else in this world, then I want to go with what He considers valuable. You know, it's important to God to save souls because He loves those souls. God made something beautiful, marvelous, wonderful, don't you think? He made something eternal, valuable. He made Adam and Eve. It's amazing. He breathed life into them. Amazing creation. And then man falls, ruins it, destroys it, despises everything that God did. But God loved them. And He loved them so much that He sent His only begotten Son to save them, to deliver them. It says here in His love, not that we love God, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He actually loved us enough that He sent a solution. Not an easy solution. He actually had to die to fix this problem. Can you see the importance it has in God's eyes? See how much He loved their soul? Can you see how much He loves them and wants them to be saved? Can we see that? If we read the Bible and if we see what God sees, then yes, we understand that God loves these souls. God doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want any of them to perish. He wants them to all come to repentance and to be saved. He loves their soul. It's important whenever you're choosing what to live for, find out what's important to God. If it's important to God, then that's the one I want to choose. God doesn't care about what happens to, you know, your physical life. Your body's just going to die. And, you know, other things that you can do with your life, they're not important to God. But God loves souls, and He wants them to be saved. So let's choose what's important to God. But you know, one other thing that got me is not only is it important to God, you know how it's important to that soul? It's important to that soul. We know that we understand how valuable the soul is. We know that God understands and He knows how valuable the soul is. Do you know that the actual souls, they can express how valuable the soul is? And they do. They express how valuable their soul is. To let you know that this is a valuable thing. This has an eternal value. They express the eternal value. We get people from Mexico all the time, and we always hear it. They want to thank this church for sending missionaries, for sending somebody to tell them. Because it changed their life and it saved their soul. And you can ask them, and they know. They understand. I was lost. And my soul was going to die. And I didn't know how important it was to me. But it was important. And they know how important it was. And they tell you. Think about it in your life. You know how important it was. You know how important your soul is. But they did not know You did not know before you were saved. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they should also come into this place of torment. Can you see that soul expressing his opinion on how valuable their soul was? Can you see how people in hell are expressing themselves to you? Can you hear their call when they're saying to you, go tell my brother. He's not saved. I don't want him to come to this place of torment. He's going to die just like me. I have 5 brothers. I have a mother. I have a father, a son. Go tell them. They're calling to you. They want you to go and tell them. They're expressing themselves. Can you hear it? Can you hear them calling? Because they are. They want you to save their souls. They want you to go tell their brothers. They do. And they're calling. Can you hear it? Think of Paul getting the vision from a man in Macedonia saying, come. Come to us. They're calling. Yes, they are. They're calling. Can you hear it? They want to be saved. They don't know it, but they do. They don't know it, but they do. There's a man from Macedonia calling Paul. I wonder if that was a real man. I wonder if he was really calling. Or if he didn't know it, but his soul was calling. But Paul, whether or not he was calling, he heard it. He knew somebody was calling. And they're calling. They're calling. Your neighbor is calling. Your friend is calling. Somebody, nobody else may be able to touch. But he's calling for you to tell him he needs to be saved. His soul is valuable. And they're expressing it. Can you hear their call? You know, it's important to that soul. It's important to them that we tell them. They need a preacher. They need somebody to tell them. A personal. Something personal. We can't just sit around thinking, well, God will open their eyes somehow. God will somehow send maybe a vision to them so that they can be saved. God will somehow do something to where if I don't go, they'll still be saved. See, I believe whenever he says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? I believe that. They can't hear without a preacher. They can't. They need somebody to tell them. How are they gonna preach lest they be sent? Can you see the importance of that soul needing you to send a preacher? Can you see the importance that that soul has on you going to him and telling him and explaining him the gospel? He has an importance. It's important to that soul that you tell them. That you go. It's important to that soul. So when we choose what to live for, because we all have to do it, whether you're young or old, you're going to have to choose. If you're young, you know, it's better. But if you're old, you still, if you haven't chosen, choose. Let's choose life rather than death. Life for ourselves. Life for the soul that needs it. Let's choose life.